Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. The political storm brewing in Washington just 2 days before the next president of the United States is sworn in. The stakes have never been higher with a second impeachment, a failed insurrection, and fears of new attacks across the country.
Shouts of treason piercing the air. It's an insurrection on full display, seen in the latest video released by The New Yorker. Reporter Luke Mogelson capturing as a mob rushes past security, as the overflow climbs the scaffolding, as they rush their way into the building. Once inside, the crowd making the case the president sent them to do this.
We're outnumbered. There's a million of us out there, and we are listening to Trump.
Others scouring the halls, hunting for party leaders.
Where the are they?
Including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Where the is Nancy?
In the Senate chamber, you can see others rifling through documents.
There's got to be something in here we can use against.
I think Cruz would want us to do this, so
yeah, absolutely.
I think we're good.
A bizarre prayer led by the so-called QAnon shaman, Jacob Changeling.
States of America to be reborn.
A lone Capitol Police officer pleading.
Okay, just want to let you guys know this is like the sacredest place.
I'm gonna take a chair because my pants is a chair.
Changeling leaving an ominous note for Vice President Pence.
It's only a matter of time. Justice is coming.
In the last few days, more than 80 people have been rounded up by federal law enforcement. Among them, Vitaly Gostchinkowski. Seen in this video holding and triggering a stun gun multiple times. He turned himself in after seeing an FBI bulletin out for his arrest. A report by the FBI adding, insurrectionists set up communication mechanism in advance. The report making it clear there was planning involved in the riot. New questions swarming over who was involved in organizing the rally that turned into a riot. The president promoting the event for weeks.
We're gonna walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women, because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
Now sources telling ABC News, staffers who had worked on the president's 2020 campaign were involved in the promotion and logistics of the event. The campaign denies any active members of its team were involved in the organization or operation of this event.
The president's political organizations worked hand in hand with the people organizing the rally on January 6th. And those ties, those connections in terms of both organizing the rally, getting the permits, promoting the rally, those will be undoubtedly looked at in the impeachment trial.
Security threats now extend beyond D.C. The FBI has reporting that there has been threats from every state in the union. Capitol buildings now lined with the National Guard.
This is the biggest law enforcement and military presence for an inauguration in U.S. history.
Over the weekend, thousands of troops deployed to the nation's capital. There will be 25,000 by inauguration. But officials say they're worried about an insider attack after some of the people charged in the riot are current or former military, including at least one off-duty National Guardsman.
The FBI is part of it. The Secret Service is part of it. And once they are certain that there's no insider threat, then that soldier, guardsman or airman is given a credential.
The military has had obviously an issue for several years of troops being radicalized in some form or fashion. The issue I see is you can't vet 25,000 people in a few days. It's just not realistic. So we'll have to see how that sort of works out.
All of this unfolding under the looming shadow of historic second impeachment trial for President Trump. What's clear is there is a growing rift in some segments of the Republican Party, a contentious divide driven further after 10 members of the House voted with the Democrats for impeachment.
Getting 67 votes to convict Donald Trump in the Senate trial will be very difficult. It means 17 Republicans would have to vote to convict him. Unclear that that would happen. That would be surprising, but not impossible. What's significant is that many Republicans simply haven't said, and they have not ruled out voting to convict him.
A post-Trump White House is less than 48 hours away, leaving his 74 million voters to write the next chapter.
I'm not too concerned about our party coming back together. I think we'll work it out. We always have. Yeah. We're a strong party. We're good people. We'll be fine.
Nancy Eichholz is a staple in local Cincinnati politics, a mother, head of a nonprofit, and a lifelong Republican who feels that the events of January 6th leaves an opportunity for growth within her own party.
You describe yourself as a moderate Republican. Where do you see yourself now? Do you have a home right now?
I do. One president, one incident doesn't change my values and my perspectives and my patriotism. I know that the Republican Party has some rebuilding to do, but the Republican Party that I know, under duress, under stress, will come together and we'll move forward.
We first met Nancy in August 2019. She was on her way to her first Trump rally in Cincinnati. 16 months and two impeachments later.
Do you remember last time we spoke, I asked you, what will be your threshold to impeach Donald Trump? Do you remember what you said?
You probably have to kill somebody.
Yeah.
What I said?
You said the red line would be he would have to murder somebody or then would have to do something super egregious.
I guess the red line would be, you know, he'd have to murder somebody or there would have to be something, you know, super egregious.
What say you now? A cop's dead, our Capitol was trashed.
I think it's up to people that are doing the impeaching.
No. I'm asking you. You gave me your threshold for impeachment last time.
If I were one of the lawmakers in this situation, I think what they're trying to impeach him for right now, it's not really making sense, because what I think I'm hearing is that they're saying that something that he said at the rally sent people to the Capitol. What I think where the real issue was is that it was really unfair for the president to give false hope to all these people who put so much trust in him for 4 years and appreciated what he did and liked his policies. It was unfair for him to give them the false hope that by showing up at the Capitol, that the election would be overturned, because that was never going to happen. Yeah.
How would you describe your 4 years with Donald Trump?
It was a roller coaster ride for sure. I think it just never in my wildest dreams would his presidency have crashed and burned like this after the election.
Do you think Donald Trump, based on what's happened, Donald Trump should run for president again?
I can't imagine that he would have the support to run again federally after this.
Could you support him moving forward?
No. There's so much division. We have got to move forward. We've got to move on. And we can't just keep going backwards. We've got to move forward.
Today, with our nation's capital in lockdown, the country is poised to begin another historic chapter. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris formally submitting her letter of resignation for her Senate seat today, as she prepares to be sworn in as the first Black, first South Asian, and first woman to hold the seat. Both Harris and President-elect Joe Biden taking part in this year's National Day of Service in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We know that the fight that Dr. King was engaged in is still a fight in America.
Dr. King offered a dream in the midst of one of America's darkest times, a darkness that made its way inside our nation's capital two Wednesdays ago. This Wednesday, will it be a dream deferred or a dream renewed?
And coming up, from the historic inauguration to that unprecedented second impeachment, what's next as our nation remembers Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC. Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 Central on ABC.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s lifelong struggle for civil rights taking new meaning in America tonight as the nation confronts a dark past and a complicated future. Earlier tonight, I spoke with ABC News contributors Tara Settmeyer, Leah Wright Rigger, and LZ Granderson. Thank you all for joining us. LZ, let's start with you. Earlier in the show, I spoke to a Trump supporter who denounced last week's violence at the Capitol, but said it's now time for the country to move on. What about the Republicans that are not ready to move on? What will it take, you think?
I'm not even quite sure what moving on actually means. So if moving on means, hey, let's forget January 6th, then I don't want to move on, because that's not going to help the country move forward and heal. We've been down this road before where we tried to like placate to racism in hopes of unifying the country, only to find out that when you placate to racism, you only make the country worse. So I don't know what it's going to take for us to move on, to get the Republicans on board, to have a peaceful transition of power and help Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get this coronavirus under control. But I am curious as to what the definition of moving on means to Republicans as well.
Tara, in one of the new videos captured by journalists from The New Yorker, we hear a rioter saying, quote, "We're listening to Trump, your boss." He's saying that to Capitol Police. What impact do you think this will have on an already fractured Republican Party?
I think it forces them to have to face the fact that Donald Trump incited this. There's no running away from it. There is tangible video evidence that is being repeatedly shown. It's as if they forgot that there was a violent insurrection that cost lives just a few weeks ago. It's an escape, this whataboutism, trying to blame everyone else. The American people, I think, have had enough. It's very jarring when you watch those videos. And I encourage people to watch the videos from The New Yorker, from ProPublica. But people need to see this and see what happened, and there needs to be accountability. You cannot begin to heal unless there is repentance, accountability, and then we can talk about unification.
Sure. Leah, black voters have been an enormous force during this election year, especially in key swing states where it counted the most. Do you think this level of political engagement is here to stay?
Well, absolutely. Black political engagement has been there, you know, forever. They've been educated, they've been well-informed about the political process. What's different about 2020 is that despite things like gerrymandering, despite the gutting of the Voting Rights Act in 2013, despite all of these roadblocks put in front of black voters to prevent them from voting, black voters have actually become essentially untethered, or at least, you know, have escaped the chokehold that's been on them by white voters across the country for the last several decades, the last several generations, really. So we're beginning to see black voters have the ability to realize their political power that they've always had, that they've had all along.
LZ, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day and the beginning of an historic week in this country. You've said there are two Americans. Do you think the Biden-Harris administration can unite them, or are we hoping for too much?
We're definitely hoping for too much if we think two people can overcome centuries of division. You can't legislate harmony. You can try to legislate or punish people who try to disrupt it in a violent fashion, but at the end of the day, you have to be working towards changing hearts and minds if you want to talk about unifying the country again. And I do believe that they do see that, but I think it is ridiculous if we believe that now that we have, a Democratic Senate, a Democratic House, and, you know, obviously a Democratic president, that now things are automatically going to be better. No, it's going to take interpersonal reaction to one another at the grocery store, in our churches, at the mall. That is how this country is going to get better. It's up to us.
Leah, in the spirit of today, celebrating the hope that Dr. King, his dream inspired, and the darkness of the civil rights era exposed, We saw darkness at the Capitol 2 weeks ago, but this Wednesday, where does the dream stand?
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind is that when Dr. King was alive, he was a deeply unpopular figure amongst the majority of the country. That in fact, the radical king, the king that we rarely talk about, was actually murdered for his views and his viewpoints, which I think exposes the lengths, the great lengths that power, particularly racial power and hierarchical power, the great lengths that power will go to in order to keep it, in order to prevent progress. And I think we're in one of those moments right now. We've seen increasing political advancement, particularly for Black and Brown people and indigenous populations in this country. And so, you know, as we move into this moment, as we are here on Martin Luther King Day, as we move into the inauguration, and this really as we move into the next, you know, the next political administration, a presidential administration, I think we should be very cognizant of the fact that progress always comes with backlash, and those things are intertwined. Mm. So we haven't gotten that far with Dr. King's dream. We still have so much more to go.
Tara, the final thought from you about this week, what we saw 2 weeks ago, and what you hope to see this coming Wednesday.
You know, I just think that it is a collective national sigh of relief on Wednesday. The country is ready to have adult leadership, competent leadership, and tackle the problems and the scorched earth that Donald Trump has left in his failed wake of a presidency. And as we celebrate Dr. King today and look at the historic nature of what's happening this week with Vice President-to-be Kamala Harris, and the choice that Republicans face as well, since they will be in the minority party, how will they move forward? How will they react in this moment? And it reminds me of Martin Luther King, who said that the ultimate measure of a man is not in a moment of comfort and convenience, it's in a time of challenge and controversy. Mm. And we are in that time right now. And I think a lot of people on the Republican side need to decide which side they're standing on in this time.
So, Tara, do I hear optimism in your view of what this week could be?
100%. I mean, the point we're at now, it can't go any further down. We can only go up.
All right. Thanks again to all of you for your time. We'll see you down the road. And finally tonight, dreaming of a better nation. In the face of troubled times, the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., giving strength to a weary nation now and then, delivering this speech before his assassination.
I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
At historic Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where Dr. King once preached, incoming U.S. Senator and pastor Raphael Warnock, remembering the civil rights icon for paving the way.
Dr. King was faithful until the very end. And I just want to suggest to us tonight that it is left to us to finish.
And honoring a legacy to love instead of hate. And the church said amen. That's Nightline for this evening. See you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.